From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hello and welcome to the Wildcast podcast. I'm Michael Lev with the Arizona Daily Star. I am joined by my colleagues Zach Rosenblatt and Justin Spears. It's Monday, which means it's the weekly Rich Rodriguez press conference. That's why we're all here at the Lowell Stevens football facility. Rich talked about the UCLA game a little bit. He talked about the Cal game coming up. He talked a lot about Khalil Tate, of course. And right at the beginning of the press conference, he answered the question that's been on everybody's mind. And that is, if this guy is this good, why didn't you play him in the first place? Let's listen to Rich, to what Rich had to say about that, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
It's like, yeah, God plays really good, and he's like, you open yourself up, where the heck's he been? What's wrong? Why hasn't he been starting? I understand the question. You know, frankly, he was a young guy still learning. Brandon played better in August camp and at the start of the season. Then Khalil got, it sounds like Coach made the reason, but he got hurt. And for about 3 weeks, he could hardly throw. And, but at the Colorado week, he was healthy and had a good week of practice. And we talked about it. So listen, you may get an opportunity. I didn't know when it was going to happen. And when he got his opportunities, he made the most of it. So, I'm not totally surprised that he's performing really well. But at the same time, this is the healthiest he's been in a month. And he's actually playing better than even we anticipated that he would. Particularly in a running wise, and he's running away from people, and he's 20 pounds lighter than last year, and all that. So he's still learning, and so we're not going to expect 200 yards or 300 yards rushing, and whatever QBR quarterback rating, whatever that is, every week. But I love the way his mindset is right now, and how he's taking charge of his opportunity.
All right, so you heard Rich's explanation for why Khalil did not start from the get-go. I think it's important for everyone to keep in mind, and I'll bring this up with you, I'll get into this with you guys here in a second. He's still a sophomore. He's still 18. He's still very early in his college career. Obviously, his play has been phenomenal so far. But the way Rich talked about it, he was still kind of figuring things out. And he talked a little bit later in the press conference about how, they're not necessarily using all of the playbook at this point. There's still a lot more stuff they can do. So they may have pared things down a little bit for him, just, using a relatively small percentage so that he can really master those plays. It hasn't mattered because he's been so efficient as a passer. And he's also been so elusive as a runner. He's been able to kind of make, something out of nothing. He's turned broken plays into big plays. I'll start with you, Justin. What did you think of Rich's explanation? And do you think it's viable?
Well, at the beginning of the summer or during summer camp, it all came down to, okay, who are we going to get, Brandon Dawkins or Khalil Tate? And like you said, he's so young and so inexperienced with Arizona. When it's a neck-and-neck battle, you're usually going to give it to the guy who's got the more experience. I mean, even if Khalil is more athletic, Brandon's got a better grasp of the offense. He might know more X's and O's about the offense. But I think Rich Rod is just like us. He's just as surprised about Khalil Tate as we are. And he said that, Rod Smith told him that, yeah, Khalil Tate is down 20 pounds from last year. He had to remind Rich Rod of that. And I just think, we're at the point right now where, Rich Rod is definitely surprised by him, but, Khalil's definitely his quarterback moving on. So,
yeah, one thing, we didn't get to see very many practices before the season. We saw how many total? There was a couple scrimmages.
I think three, yeah.
And what we saw, Brandon was pretty clearly a step ahead of him at that point in time, which is easy to forget. As Rich kind of mentioned this, but the reality is Khalil might be a gamer more than a practice player, which how can you figure out that the guy's going to do that in a game? I guess you just have to make the right judgment, and they went with a guy who had 4 years in the system, and it made sense at the time, and then now everybody's retroactively mad about it. And I understand that because they could be 5-1 right now. It's hard to say a team can be 6-0 when they've lost two games. I think that's unrealistic to say they could be 6-0 right now. But they could be 5-1 and in the mix for the Pac-12 title. But anyway, but right now they're in the mix for the Pac-12 South title still. that's just a crazy thought right there, right?
You know, this concept of the gamer, it's like Rich indicated that he didn't really believe in that, but it sounds like Khalil is making him a believer in that. You know, he was talking about the 71-yard run, the one where he kind of bobbled the snap, and he was joking about he was supposed to bobble the snap and all that stuff. But he was basically implying that it was a broken play. And Khalil Tate turned a broken play into a 71-yard touchdown. Now, I want to go back a little bit, though. At the end of spring, they had an open scrimmage, and Khalil was phenomenal in that scrimmage. And I kind of thought at that point, you know, this is going to be a launching pad for him, you know, to make a real run at the starting quarterback spot. It didn't happen in training camp. We don't get to see all the practices, so we can't say definitively. But as we were reminded by our old friend Daniel Burke as we were walking over here, Khalil did not participate in the last open scrimmage that they had. He had banged his thumb or his hand in some way and couldn't play. So that was, you know, another opportunity missed for him. I think all these little things kind of added up to the situation playing out the way it did. And then, you know, Khalil has the really, you know, off game against Houston and everyone's questioning him. I'm sorry, Brandon has the off game against Houston. Everyone's questioning him. Khalil is still injured. You know, you're going into a game against UTEP where this is an opportunity to play a young quarterback, right? Yeah. Couldn't play Khalil. On top of that, Brandon has like the best game of his career. So what are you supposed to do if you're Rich Rod? Even if Khalil was healthy going into the Utah game, are you going to bench Brandon after he completes like, I don't know, what was it, like 18 of 22 passes and runs for a gazillion yards? It was a very strange set of circumstances. Obviously, it's all 2020 in hindsight. To look back on it, but here we are now in a situation where, you know, Brandon got hurt, Khalil took over, the outlook for the program has changed. He's won the Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Week award 2 times in a row. What, now that we're halfway through the season, Justin, I'm gonna throw it to you. What possibilities exist for him, for this team over the second half? What's the ceiling?
Well, and that's another thing that Rich Rod said in the press conference that kind of stuck out to me, was he said Khalil had to earn it. I mean, every step of the way, he had so many hurdles in front of him to get the starting quarterback spot, where you look at Brandon, did Brandon really earn it when he was initially thrown into the fire? No, because all the quarterbacks were hurt, and Brandon had one good game against ASU, and then now everybody's thinking, oh, he's definitely the quarterback of the future. Where Khalil, same thing with Brandon, was thrown into the fire. He was a little bit too young and inexperienced, so he kind of had to take a back seat a little bit and understand the offense more. But, I mean, Khalil, with Brandon right in front of him and dealing with injuries and everything that was in front of him, earning that spot, I think, is what separates Khalil from everybody else. And you could just see that Khalil just wants it right now, and he's playing with so much energy, and he's definitely a key part to this Wildcat offense.
I will say that in the days or week leading up to the start of the season, I had heard that Brandon had been running with the ones for the majority of the preseason, and Khalil had been struggling a little bit. And then they, for a practice, just to see what it would do, they put Khalil at the number one spot, and he had his best practice of camp, which kind of goes into the whole idea of being a gamer. So who the hell knows what would have happened if he started in week one. That will always, that'll be like one of the, depending on what happens this season, that'll be one of the ultimate what ifs that we've probably ever experienced. But I mean, Khalil has a challenge this week against Cal, so we're going to see, against the best defense he's faced so far, we're going to see how he reacts to that.
Yeah, they obviously looked really good against Washington State, and we'll get into Cal in a minute, but I want to ask you guys first, second half of the season, at Cal, home Washington State, at USC, home Oregon State, at Oregon, at Arizona State, start with you, Zach, how many wins do you see out of those 6 games?
Let me see this. So, I think Washington State and USC, I mean, you assume USC is a loss, even though who the heck knows with this season. I think they beat Oregon State. They beat ASU. I think they're going to win against Cal this weekend. We'll do predictions later in the week, obviously. And then I think Washington State and Oregon are probably more of the toss-ups. You'd think because it's a home game for Washington State, they have a better chance, but they've always kind of not matched up that well with Washington State and Luke Falk. As bad as he was against Cal, he presents a lot of challenges for a young secondary. And then Oregon's on the road at Autzen. But I think it's very conceivable they can get at least 3 wins, and you can make the case that they could get 4 or 5.
Are we assuming Justin Herbert's back with Oregon at that time?
That's a great question.
Because if Braxton Burmeister was playing, then...
I mean, that is towards the end of November, so if he was going to come back, you would think he would be at that point. But, yeah, I mean, if it's Braxton Burmeister, that changes everything. So, yeah. I mean, that'll be fun the week leading up to the game, too.
Because I'm looking at the schedule, and, I mean, even though Cal looked good against Washington State, but was it more of Cal playing exceptional or Washington State just having a completely flat week? I mean... A high-powered offense like Washington State, and you only get 3 points out of it. It's just, I think it was more of a bad week for Wazoo. So I'm getting with the bold prediction. I think they win at Cal, and then I also think they follow up with a home win against Washington State. I think that is a very winnable game, and I think at that point, crowd might be a factor. Are we banking on
for homecoming and yeah, after homecoming coming off these wins? It better be.
They're at 4 wins now, so I mean, they win at Cal, they're at 5 wins. They're trying to play for bowl eligibility at Washington State. I think that's going to be a very hyped game and a possible win for Arizona. I'm not going to say they're going to win right now, but you feel
better about them winning about that game than we did 3 weeks ago. I mean, I was looking at that as a loss at the beginning of the season.
You sure do. But, you know, let's say they go 3-3 in the second half. Yeah, they're 7-5. That would be a lot better than I think anyone thought. That puts them in a bowl game. That means Rich Rodriguez's job is secure.
Is he feeling good for next year?
It does. It's really amazing how one player has kind of changed the whole outlook for the program. All right. Let's segue into a little bit of talk about the upcoming game against Cal. First, let's listen to what Rich Rodriguez had to say about the Golden Bears.
It was unbelievable how impressive they were in all three phases. I'm talking about, I mean, they got 7 turnovers on defense, but their offense was phenomenal. Their special teams played well. I mean, it was just a total team effort. Played with a lot of confidence, and so we're playing a really confident, you know, Cal team at their place. And our guys will see that on film. You know, they may have paid attention a little bit to it in the game, but we had a game the next day, so I think they're focused and they understand.
All right, you heard Rich Rodriguez talk about Cal, which has had a very interesting season so far. You know, they were 0-3 in Pac-12 play before boot stomping Washington State on a Friday night. They did force a bunch of turnovers. The thing that stood out to me the most from that game was that they just looked really physical on defense. I mean, I felt like they really beat up
Washington State.
Yeah, they sacked him a bunch of times. I mean, you know, Arizona, they didn't get a finger on him in the game up in Pullman last year. So I think a different type of challenge for Khalil Tate going into this game with the physical nature of the way the Golden Bears play. Starting on the road, he did, you know, he kind of came into the game at Colorado as opposed to opening the game. So, you know, maybe that's a little bit of a difference. I'm not totally sure what to make of this Cal team at this point. I mean, if you look at the total offense per game, they're almost 160 yards fewer in Arizona. I feel like for Cal to, you know, for it to be their kind of game, it has to be a lower scoring game. I don't think they want to get into a shootout with this Arizona offense the way it's playing right now. Justin, your initial thoughts on the matchup are what?
I mean, it's probably going to, if it's going to be a high scoring game, which, I mean, you think it's going to be a low scoring game, Michael?
Well, I think for Cal needs
if Cal
to
wants
it
to
a,
win.
If Cal wants to win, they have to make it their kind of game, which I think is more ball control, defensive oriented, lower scoring. I do not think they want to get in a shootout with the type of team that they have and the type of team that Arizona has.
Yeah. How can you stop Khalil Tate, though? It's just, you know, UCLA saw all the tape that they had, all the tape they had in the world from Colorado, and they still couldn't stop him. So if Khalil Tate is going to continue to score, I mean, I totally agree with you. If Cal wants to win this game, they're going to have to keep it low scoring and let let other options beat Cal as opposed to Khalil Tate, but I just don't see it happening. I just don't see Cal following up with a performance like that against Washington State.
I mean, Khalil hasn't seen a defense that has the level of ability that Cal has shown this year. And you watched the tape, you could probably speak to this better, but I'm not convinced UCLA's defense is all that talented considering all the talent that they have. So it's a road game. Road games are never easy to win, no matter where you're going, no matter even what the crowds are like. Almost, you're not in your comfort of your own home, and Khalil's going to see some different looks that he hasn't seen all year. They sacked Luke Falk 7 times, and he threw 4 interceptions. And this is a dude that just doesn't make mistakes. So I know nobody stopped Khalil Tate yet, but nobody had really stopped Luke Falk before either. So if he was ever going to get stopped, this is the week that it was going to happen for Khalil, I think. So I think that's gonna, it'll come down to Khalil going off again or not, to be honest.
Right. Justin Wilcox is the coach at Cal now.
I mean, Cal used to be terrible on defense, and he changed it for them. Yeah, now they're not good on offense.
He has engineered a culture change with that program. I mean, you bring in a defensive-oriented coach after having Sonny Dykes as the lead man for all those years. That's kind of what you're looking for. And they're a little bit more of an old-school team now. Than recent Cal teams that we've seen, where it would always be kind of a wide open shootout type of game, like the game in 2014 that Rich was remembering a little bit fondly.
The
Hail Mary game. An interesting subplot to this game, guys, is that Parker Zellers is not going to be available for the first half of the game. This is an already thin position, I think, defensive tackle, with Luca Bruno having sat out last week with a concussion. What did you guys think of the targeting? I watched that that play over and over and over again.
You can speak
and
good about it.
By the letter of the law, it was the right call. He did make helmet-to-helmet contact. Now, did Josh Rosen kind of duck into him? Maybe he did. Justin, you play football. You know what it's like to be out there in these live situations. Good call, bad call?
It was a football move. Josh Rosen was trying to avoid harsh contact, so he kind of crouched down a little bit to, I guess, cushion the blow. But like I was telling you, Michael, when we were having lunch today, it's just like a referee calling block in the back penalty on offensive lineman who pushed a guy in the back for doing a spin move. It's just, like you said, by the letter of the law, it is helmet-to-helmet contact. But just like with the old, going back to the Dez Bryant catch many years ago, yeah, by the NFL rules, it was a fumble. But was it really a fumble? No, it wasn't. So it's just one of those things where, you know, Parker Zellers just has to accept it and move on from it. It's harsh, but I don't think it was targeting at all.
So if you were Cal, Zach, wouldn't you come out and try to run the ball against Arizona? Yeah. Based on what we've seen the last 2 weeks, UCLA ran the ball.
Their running back's a big dude. I don't know if it's listed in the game program there, but they have a big, bulky running back who they struggled against Starks a little bit against UCLA, and he's a big guy. They've struggled defending the run the last 2 weeks. It's kind of a concern. Cal's not necessarily like a run-first team by any stretch, but you'd think they're going to run down the throat. You think Curtis Brown, the freshman, is going to get a lot of playing time this week, especially if Luca Bruno can't go. He might start. So, I mean, they're going to attack that defensive line. Defensive line's been probably the weakness of this team anyway on the defense, so That's definitely going to be something to watch. I mean, even Zeller's coming back in the second half. You know, if he's coming in and they're playing from behind, they're going to be running the ball a lot. So,
but it's always been like that. Arizona's defense, the weakness has always been the defensive line. So now you look at Arizona's defense, they substitute it with very physical, very active linebackers, guys like Kylan Wilborn. I mean, he's pretty much going to have to repeat last week, this week against Cal. So
when you looked at the numbers for Colorado going into that game, they weren't really a run-first team either. But once they kind of realized, hey, we got this going, we can run on this team.
That's all they did,
That's all they did. They stuck with it. I think UCLA ran the ball maybe more and better than they have in most of their games this season. It is definitely a big concern. As we've talked about many times, you know, defensive linemen, one of the hardest things to find, especially on the West Coast. Seems like all the best defensive linemen are to be found in SEC country, and they end up going to SEC schools, right? They go to USC, which is going to get just a different caliber of athlete. Everyone was making a big deal out of the quarterback for Cal Bowers and his flip into the end zone, but to me, he's got to hand the ball off, and they got to rely on that running game. And the other thing that does is it keeps Khalil Tate off the field, and I think that has to become a serious consideration for Arizona's opponents moving forward here. Is you want to keep the ball out of that guy's hands, and one way to do it is to control the ball yourself. One more thing I want to add before we get out of here. Rich Rod declined to address the injury status of Scotty Young Jr. I asked him right at the end of the press conference, and he, of course, referred us to the Thursday injury report that's upcoming, on which Khalil Tate never appeared despite his shoulder injury, and Rich Rod was making all sorts of jokes about that. So we don't know Scotty's status. I watched that replay several times, guys, and it didn't look good. His right knee bent in kind of an awkward way as he was trying to make the tackle along the sideline. I know he was kind of riding the bike and jogging over there on the side, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Once you get that MRI, it might show some stuff that you don't want to see there. Kwesi Mayshak did a good job in his stead. And Richrod also made reference to maybe moving some guys around in the secondary, which I thought was kind of interesting since it seems like they already have more depth at safety than at corner, but who knows what moves they might have in store.
So you think it
by the way, that the Cal running back, his name is Vic Enwer. I don't know if I'm saying
that right. Wary, yeah.
But he's 6 foot, 245 pounds.
Okay,
wow. So he's a big boy.
It's a linebacker.
But
so are you saying you're talking about movements in the secondary? Can we see Dane Kreeshank back at corner? Maybe.
I think he's talking about moving guys to safety.
Yeah, I think it was more moving guys to safety. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I wrote a blog post, you know, when we thought maybe Scotty Young would be suspended, about what all the possible, you know, contingencies would be, and I thought maybe Jarius Wallace would be a guy that they'd insert. They obviously didn't feel like they could trust him at this point in his career. I thought maybe you could put Troy Young at Bandit and move Demetrius Flanagan Fowles to free safety, since they liked Troy Young about just as much as they liked Scotty Young, but his path to playing time is blocked by Demetrius. There's a lot of things they can do. I think a lot of the roles are kind of interchangeable in a way in that secondary, the way they move guys around and they line up in different spots at different times. So, like I said before, to me, the bigger concern is the run defense. You know, that's where they really have to shore things up against not only Cal, but against USC coming up and pretty much everyone they play. Oregon, you know, is going to run the ball a lot when they get up to that into that matchup. Not so much Washington State, but ASU is going to try to run the ball. You can't be a consistent winning team if you can't stop the run. Mm-hmm. All right, anyway, that is our show for today. Thank you for listening to the Wildcast podcast. You can check out all of our work at Tucson.com. You can also download the free Wildcaster app. We got all sorts of cool stuff on there. For Justin and Zach, I'm Michael. Thanks for listening.